I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week, we're shocked to learn that Nate has joined a new club. I think we might have our first frenemy of the show, and we recap ICAST 2018 and share why we might all need to buy a cauldron.
What's new, Nate?
I went to the Atlanta Fly Fishing Club's monthly meeting this week.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hold on.
This is like I'm dropping like an atom bomb in the room right now.
Pump the brakes a little bit. You don't have a beard.
No beards.
I've never seen you wear a flannel shirt.
No flannels.
Do you have a Yeti trucker hat?
I don't have a Yeti trucker hat.
I mean, were you there like as an outsider? I don't understand what's happening. The earth has shifted.
If by outsider you mean younger than 50, yes.
Okay. Listen, I wanted to talk about ICAST, but now I want to spend this whole episode talking about you going to a fly fishing club meeting. Let's unpack this.
Pretty crazy, right? So they meet at like a restaurant bar place, and they do like raffles every month. They gave away a freaking fly fishing reel, like an Orvis fly fishing reel this month.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it was actually really interesting. They had a guy there talking about fly fishing for carp in the Chattahoochee River, which I thought was super cool because they're like as big as redfish.
Yep.
And he said it's like red fishing on the flats. They tail, they mud. You know, you can see where they've been feeding on the bottom.
Nate, listen to what you're saying right now.
I know. It's like, this is like so not at all what I am supposed to be. But I really liked it a lot.
Bloom where you're planted.
That's right. See, that's exactly, and that's what I'm trying to do, right? I actually enjoyed it a lot. I became a member of the club.
Are you a card-carrying member of a fly fishing club?
I don't have a card yet. I don't know if they even do cards, but yes.
Did you get a discount for being under 50?
No, I should have, though.
Because they're trying to bolster the
attendance. If anyone wants to Christmas shop for Nate, flannel shirts, trucker hats.
No, more like
beard oil,
fly rod, fly reel, flies, waiters.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
That's incredible.
It's like I'm becoming a different person over here, but I'm trying to make the most of my opportunities where I'm at.
What is new with you, Emily?
What's new with me? I'm so excited. This is our 44th episode, and we finally have what I think might be our first frenemy of the show.
Okay. You've been angling for a frenemy.
I have been begging people to leave us a catty review, so we have a frenemy, and we finally got one, and I have no idea who it is.
Okay.
We
don't have any idea who it is. Nate may know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll read it. Hang on. I gotta get my picture.
Please hold.
Hold on. Okay, here's the title of his review. The reviewer is D. Wood Nasty, which is the most horrible reviewer name we've had so far.
D. Wood. What if D. Wood stands for like David Wood?
Mm-hmm.
And the Nasty is because he's a relief pitcher for like the Cincinnati Reds or something.
A relief pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds?
Yeah, they use...
Why the Reds? Why not like...
Because you guys are not old enough, but in the early 90s, the Reds had a bullpen called the Nasty Boys.
Okay.
Norm Charlton, Rob Dibble, Randy Myers.
Not David Wood.
Tim Liana. I was a big fan of the Nasty Boys.
I'm following you.
So anyway, maybe that's why D. Wood Nasty is his username.
Maybe. I think we're stretching a little bit.
Maybe he'll give us some clarification. Here's his review. 5 stars. I came here expecting to hear more mottled hybrid black duck talk. This podcast needs more of that. I mean, come on. That's the bread and butter of Florida duck hunting. Just throw in some ringers and over limit bluebills and y'all will be set. 9 out of 10 would listen again.
Wow.
Okay. So he's a fan of the do you even model bro discussions.
He loves the do you even models. And I wonder, does the 9 out of 10 translate into a 4.5 out of 5, but it rounded up to a 5?
Right. You can't do half stars on iTunes.
Exactly. So we got him on a technicality there. Is that what you feel like?
I feel like the title of this review is great, but not totally satisfied. And D. Wood Nasty, that's exactly how I feel about your review. It was great, but I'm not totally satisfied. I need more. Could you be a little bit more?
In what venue would you like for him to follow up with us on?
At Cast and Bless FL on all social
Instagram,
media sites.
Facebook, Twitter. What you pick, D. Wood.
If D. Wood Nasty sends a message, we will let Emily handle the response. Is that what you're saying?
Be more constructive in your criticism. We would like to hear it. Yes.
Should we do a whole show where we just talk about mottled, mallard, and black duck identification in Florida?
Haven't we?
We've done, yeah, several.
Do we not have a t-shirt?
We do.
Anyway, so yeah, that's what's new with me. We have a friend of me, D-Wood Nasty. I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. What's new with you, Trav?
Hey, I'm glad one of you remembered. Nate actually remembered. I could tell by the look on his face. He remembered.
No,
I did.
It like scared me that I thought of it. And I was like, oh, I have to ask this really fast.
Oh, yeah.
What's new with me is all things iCast. We just got done with our first show, iCast. First iCast as a show where we were trying to engage with the fishing world, as it were.
Like adults with business cards.
Yes.
That we realized we needed about 2 days before we went.
Yes, but we made it happen.
Yes, we did.
We made it happen, Captain. So, really cool show. We've got enough information from it to pack into several episodes, but we want to... today, we're going to try to talk about the stuff I liked, like the innovative stuff, the creative stuff, the new stuff. It's not just...
Travis is bored with, like, oh, there's a new rod. Cool. Oh, there's a new reel. I mean, there is a reel that was innovative, but he doesn't want to just see the latest version of a thing. He wants the innovation.
You're talking about iCast. What exactly is iCast?
Yeah, so I think that's a good question because it's important in the conversation to frame it. iCast is, and I'm going to get this a little bit wrong, but iCast is the ASA, the Association of Sport Fishing in America or something. It's their trade show for the industry. And for the past several years, it's been partnered with IFTD, which is the fly fishing trade show. And so they marry all that together, and they fill up the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, which for our...
Which is the largest convention center in the world,
is,
by the way.
Is it really?
I think it's something like that. Either the largest one in the United States or the world.
We'll get this on one of the days on my... You know how your iPhone tracks how far you walk?
Yeah.
So I'm there trying to meet people, trying to you know, generate show content, introduce people to the show, stuff like that. I walked 6.8 miles inside that building.
That's a lot. That's a long way.
Inside that building into my car in the parking lot, which I had actually a pretty good spot.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I counted that as a workout and had a Chick-fil-A sandwich on the way home.
Heck yeah, of course you did.
He came home and he was like in so much pain that I gave him a foot rub. I was like, let me please help you, because he was like, I can't move.
Dude, my feet were howling.
Yeah. No, see... My days in the archery industry, we used to go to the show. Same kind of thing. The industry trade show called the ASA or ATA show, Archery Trade Association.
Was that the one in Wisconsin?
No, they had it in different places. So they have one like Nashville, Indianapolis, okay. Louisville. But the same thing. You walk around this huge convention center all day long, meeting people, ordering product, you know, checking out the new stuff. You are dead by the end of the day.
Yeah. And then. For someone, I don't know where I sit on the spectrum. I'm pretty much in the middle between introvert and extrovert, but it wears you out talking to people all day, every day.
Absolutely, it does, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're making the cold approach, and some of the folks working those booths are straight-up introverts. They're only there because they got a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the guy who, the brains behind the product.
Yeah.
Usually is sitting down, like, doesn't really want to talk to anybody, and then, like, the sales guy's, like, running around.
Right.
How you doing?
For our approach, I actually ran into a couple that were like, you need to talk to a marketing person. I'm like, no, I want to talk to the person that made the thing, because I want to understand the story behind it, because that's what I want to talk to our listeners about. And they're like, right, what do you right. mean? Don't you want to buy an ad or sell an ad? Or I was like, no, I want to talk to somebody that made a thing.
Right, right.
So we know what iCast is, and we know you want to talk about innovation, but before we get into all that, did you run into any friends of the show?
Absolutely, we did.
Who'd you run into?
Obviously, our Friends for Florida Fishing Products had a booth there. So, right. Got to spend some time, see Ty and Tim, catch up with those guys a little bit. Got to see some of the guides at the booth that were working it for them. Matt Sturdivant. Got to see Steve Bear. He's a East Coast guide. Really good guys. And we know all these guys through social media and stuff. And they're all Florida boys, you know. They're outdoorsmen, they're hunters, they're fishermen, they duck hunt with us. It's just cool to kind of catch up with some of those guys. Rebecca Burton, who I did not know before the show, but she runs The Marjorie. Do you know why they would call a website The Marjorie, Nate?
The Marjorie.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Because of Marjorie Kennan Rawlings. She wrote The Yearling. And so,
okay, gotcha.
Rebecca has started a site aimed at women in conservation in Florida, or women in the outdoors of Florida. I'm butchering a little bit. At this moment, I've only kind of dug into a little bit. Super cool to connect with her and find out more about what they're doing. And we're going to try to help them out with some stuff. But yeah, saw a lot of people that were familiar with the show and heard of the show. Also made sure that everyone we've ever talked about on the show, I dropped by their booth. So
smart.
I don't know that the sales lady at Head and Lures really cared.
right.
But I'm like, look, we did a topwater bait draft and I don't think she even knew what a draft was. And I'm like, but we talked about Head and quite a bit because just inadvertently you guys have dominated the topwater market.
Yeah, they're basically the OGs of topwater.
Same thing with Live Target, same thing. Yeah, but as the show went on, I kind of learned to gravitate away from most of the bigger booths. Because those guys were really there for retail sales, and getting to someone that cared about the show was, they would have like sales reps from a third party company there working the show to help deal with buyers. And so that wasn't the person you wanted to talk to when you're talking about something like this. What I wanted to talk to was the people behind the stories, like I mentioned. So anyway, very cool, but it was good to see some stuff, some folks that were happy to see us.
Yeah.
So walking around for 6 miles, you had to have seen some things that really stuck out. So what stuck out the most to you at the show?
Yeah. And so I kind of broken this up. We'll do another episode where we talk about gear that already kind of exists, but I saw at the show and got to lay my hands on for the first time.
Yeah.
But from an innovation standpoint, so they do a contest where everyone enters, you can enter anything new, and it's called the New Product Showcase. And so because I didn't go as a guide, I went as a media editorial person, I was able to go to the New Product Showcase and vote on products and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, super cool. So you get a first peek at the new stuff, and you get to touch it and pick it up and the new lures and all that jazz. And then you vote on it, and then they have an award ceremony where they pare all that down. So there's a winner in each category. And then they have another vote the next day that you go to, and you can vote for out of those who wins best in show. For me, I voted the coolest products I saw were the techie, innovative type stuff. I
think stuff that's like new, not really out there. There's no like existing product.
Yeah. So the thing I thought was super cool that was in the electronics, they would break it up by like fishing reel, saltwater
categories. Yeah.
So in the electronics category, there was something called a GoLock. And the website is mygolock.com. And I went and told these guys, I was like, look, I think your product is cooler than crap. And I just want to talk about it on our show. So can you fill me in on this thing? But what it is it's a waterproof, not submersible, but a waterproof fob. With like a bike chain that runs around.
I was about to say, it looks like a little bike lock.
Yes.
Yeah, or like a gun lock or something like that.
Yeah, gun lock. Correct. Yeah, that's even better.
And then you slide an actual master lock through openings in that lock to lock it. Because those little, that fob, it unplugs. That doesn't really lock in. And then you have an app on your phone. And you download this app and you can program the sensitivity of that lock so that anyone that touches it, it alerts your phone.
Oh, interesting.
So think about, we've talked quite a bit about Little Gasparilla Island. I guide out of Inglewood. My boat's outside and I have to move my Yeti back and forth. I have to move my rods back and forth. Like, even though I have locking rod lockers, I've had people, you've had friends that
just get their whole entire rod, every one of their rods and reels stolen out of their boat.
Out of their rod locker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the way this thing works, I think it was about $250. The way it works is it has a Bluetooth connection, so that works over 500 feet, give or take, depending on line of sight.
Right.
It's not the Bluetooth that's in your cheap little speaker you listen to when you're floating down the river.
It's a really nice Bluetooth, yeah.
But then it also has a cellular backhaul in it that does a heartbeat connection back through like a cellular connection. And you pay $6 a month or something like this for the cell connection. So it gets to you no matter what. So if you were a mile away from this boat, that cellular connection is still going to go back and alert you if someone messes with your lock. So
that's pretty cool.
I thought for especially in Florida, I mean, every summer, every time about this time of year, you start seeing the posts on Facebook where somebody's like, can you share, 22-foot blue Pathfinder stolen out of Lakeland, stolen out of West Palm, last seen going north on 75. Like, something like this is for a boat owner like myself, $250 is a small peace of mind.
Right.
To be able to roll into the yard, lock it up, go inside, and I'm good for the night.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, that's like a thing too, because we don't have to get into the Maverick situation, but our boat isn't made anymore. So even though we have insurance on our boat, and if something were to happen to it, insurance would cover it. We can't get the boat.
Right.
Like, it doesn't exist.
The whole
unless
of the,
you try to find like a used one or something. Which
yeah, but
they don't come up very.
They
often.
Don't come up.
The hull
yeah.
of a Master Angler 21, which is what I love. I love those flats boats. I don't like the bay boats as much. I like the flats boats. The hull of that boat is not available, so I really don't want to lose it.
Exactly.
Like, even if insurance right. cuts me a check for more than it's worth, I don't want to lose that boat.
Exactly.
Right. Right. The boat's worth more than the monetary value.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't replace it. So anyway,
right.
I just thought that was a super sharp invention.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Something else that was pretty cool, and I'm not a fly. I used to fly fish back in the day, but as now that Nate is a newly freshly minted fly fisherman,
card carrying
member, he's gonna love this. Was a company I never heard of, Siegler Reels, Siegler Fishing Reels, and I met Wes, who is the owner, founder, inventor of this reel, and he made a lever drag fly reel, and this thing is really, really, really sick. And I voted for it, and it's in the fly reel category because it was the only thing I saw that was innovative at all.
Right.
But this guy, so getting to talk to him, I was like, so Wes, what's your background? Like, where did you, and we're going to have him on the show to tell this story because it's so cool. I was like, what's your background? Like, were you a metal worker? Were you like, did you come from some lineage of
right
fashioning these reels? Or something in metal. And he's like, no, watched YouTube videos, bought a press, bought a lathe. I don't even know if those are the right terms for what you'd use to shape metal into stuff.
I don't know.
So, and I don't want to steal his story, but he told me he went to the Seychelles to catch GT's Grand Giant Trevally.
Yeah.
And took one of those reels with no backup. He's like, I wanted to burn the boats and make my reel work. So he's like, every reel you buy from him has a little toolkit that goes with it. And he's like, you can repair just about any reel on the market with it. And then the other thing that was really cool was he makes these really nice wood boxes for the reels to go in. And if you buy one of those reels, these reels are expensive. I'd say they're $1,500, give or take. I mean,
yeah,
they're pricey.
The 9 to 11 weight reel is $1,000, and the 11 to 13 weight reel is $15.
Yeah. So I was looking at the bigger one, the 11 to 13.
Uh-huh.
So he's got these really nice wooden boxes. They're obviously handmade. And if you buy one of the reels and enroll it in their program, every fish species you catch on that reel, you send him a picture, and they will build you one of those boxes when you get 4 or 5. I can't remember how many sides he burned it on. They'll send you one of those boxes customized with your fish on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's a showpiece reel, but it's also a super functional reel.
Hmm.
Like, well-made, durable.
Yeah. Oh, and obviously I think I said this, or it's evident, all made in the United States.
Right.
So in this age of everything is made in China and rebranded over here, or it was really refreshing to see somebody sit down and say, I can do this here.
I love stories of people who are like, I'm going to figure that out. And they just like freaking figure it out and do it and make it.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty inspirational story. And like
absolutely.
I said, we tease about fly fishing a lot. Obviously there's a beauty in a
art.
Yeah. An art.
An art. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it's just therapeutic, right? Like we're going to pick on you relentlessly for being a fly fisherman now, but at the same time, I'm kind of jealous of it.
Right.
But anyway, we're going to have later in the year, we're going to get Wes on the show to get him to tell us his story. Maybe we'll make him participate in a fly fishing draft of some sort.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that'd be cool. Are you working up to the one that I know you're super excited about?
I was, but jump in anyway.
Because I'm like dying to hear you tell Nate about the cauldron.
Okay.
The cauldron.
Okay.
Not like...
This looks interesting.
Not like
this
three looks... witches in the woods, bubble, toil and trouble. Yeah. No, a cauldron though. It's not spelled like cauldron like a witch. It's cauldryn.com. And Travis called me on the way home from ICAST and told me about this. And then he told me about it again when he got home because he was this excited about it. So,
okay. And where my excitement comes from is, for how many years has my dad asked for Christmas or Father's Day?
A 12-volt coffee maker.
He wants a 12-volt coffee maker.
So badly.
So like connect to your car.
Yeah.
And they make them, but the reviews on them are really bad.
Yeah.
So I went to the cauldron booth. First off, I voted for this for best in its category, and I don't remember what category it was. And then I voted for it for best in show, and I don't understand how it didn't win best in show, because this was the coolest invention there. But what it is a, it's a vacuum sealed cup with a battery pack that goes on the bottom. So it's all in the same form factor.
Right.
And then there's modular things you can change out in between it. So you can put a heating element in there, and it's got a digital, what are they called? LCD screens, like an old alarm clock looking screen. Modern than that, but
No, I got you.
And you can set the temperature you want it to turn your liquid up to. So you can actually boil water sitting in a tree stand using this device. It's also got, running off the same battery, a little modular thing you can put in the middle. You could grind up your own coffee beans. Then you could pour them into a filter that comes with it, a reusable coffee filter, and perk your own coffee inside of it sitting in a deer stand.
Yeah, you said the filter is like silicone or something, right?
Yeah.
So rinse and reuse.
It's rinse and reuse.
Wow.
The guy, Joe Ganalis, who I talked to, he's the guy that invented this. And engineers told him you could not get water hot enough to boil off of a battery. And he said, watch me.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, watch this. Yeah,
hold my cold beer. So the cup will keep things cold just like a Yeti would. Like if you fill it up with cold stuff, it doesn't have a cooling element in it. But here's the other.
It's insulated. And, yeah.
There's a couple of different packages you could buy, but one of them, the battery also has a USB port on the back of it. You could charge your phone.
That's legit.
Off your coffee cup. That. It also, for a camping situation, has a modular light that snaps into the battery on top for like an area light, like a dome light.
Okay. All right.
But the sides of that light are a bug zapper.
Whoa, what? Wait a minute.
So no. You could run a bug zapper in your camp.
Sorry, I'm looking at pictures of it online as he's talking about it.
Yeah,
you can run a bug zapper in your camp. And so the bug zapper is shaped like a cup, obviously, with a light on top of it. It snaps into the battery. You can then set that on top of a Bluetooth speaker that they make that's modular. And running through the system, the bug zapper and dome light will change beats to the music of, like, it's like a light, like a,
you can rave in
like
the
a
woods.
Light show.
Yeah, like a disco show.
A disco? How old are you?
Off your Now, listen, I know some of that's a little crazy, but that is cooler than crap, dude.
It is really cool. No, I'm really into this. This is
yeah,
the coolest
it's like,
thing I've probably
for
ever
our listeners who aren't looking at it on a website, just imagine that you take like a it's the same shape as a Yeti, but it's a little longer, like a Yeti stretched
out. A little younger
and
a little thinner.
And it's black.
Yeah.
And you slice it. And so you can take the slices and change them out and like screw them together and do different stuff with the different slices if you slice the Yeti horizontally.
Yeah, I saw one where they have like a blender blade.
Yeah, you can make smoothies.
You can make smoothies.
Yes.
You can make smoothies. That's the thing you can use to grind your
coffee
beans. I forget what he told me, but he said basically you can grind anything you want with that. You could grind ice. You could put ice in there and turn it into crushed ice.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Off of a battery pack.
It's just a really cool and so innovative. I mean.
Oh, absolutely it is.
For a backpacker, he made it so you could rehydrate your food with hot water. So if you could take one of these things into the wilderness.
The backcountry.
Yeah. But you could also use it to boil soup. You could bring soup to a boil in it. Like if you wanted a hot meal at night, you're cold, chilled, whatever.
Yeah, no, this is a great thing for like guys who like to camp out way back in the middle of nowhere. So they have like jet boils, right? Everybody kind of knows what a jet boil is.
Yep.
It's like a gas base and it boils water really fast. But you also have to carry that gas in,
mm-hmm.
like gas tanks.
Yep.
So this, if you could, I mean, it probably won't last you like days and days, but for a couple of nights or something like this, this is probably all you'd need.
Exactly.
That was my thing. I was like, so how long does that battery last? And the guy who invented it said you get 6 hours out of it.
I don't remember. It would depend, obviously, on the usage.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to run a rave in between your.
Yeah. If you're hooking up your speaker and your lights to it, that's
right.
But if you're using it to heat food, I mean,
it can't be that bad.
Yeah. So very cool.
I guess if you're boiling water all the time, it probably won't last that long. But
so at some point, we're going to get Joe on here to tell. We want to start. I think we've talked about this live on the show. We want to start doing some interviews that are behind the story, the story behind the story. So at some point, we're going to get Joe on here to talk about that invention because it's just, you know,
it's cool, man. It's so cool.
And part of me is like, well, it's expensive. It's $130, $150. I forget what the price point was. at the same time, 10 years ago, if I'd have told you Yeti's going to release a cup that's $40, you guys would have all laughed at me and been like, well, I'm not going to have one of those. And all of you listening to this right now are drinking something out of a Yeti.
Right.
So anyway, this is a super cool. To me, it was the most innovative thing at the show.
I'm into this.
Okay, but a close second, I feel like, was the Ridge Monkey brand, because they had a couple of cool things.
Well, and Ridge Monkey, Ridge Monkey may have been my favorite booth at the show. I talked to a guy there named Dan Hawks, and he was their UK sales manager. And Dan walked me around, and everything they had in their booth was cooler than crap. I mean, I
if you caught it on our Insta stories, he was kind of explaining in his super sexy accent what everything
was. Yeah, Dan,
was.
My wife would definitely like your number.
I was evidently. Like, can I get a picture of that
She's
guy?
She's going to swipe right on that. It's almost like they make tactical gear, and they're new to the American market. They make battery packs, but these battery packs look like an inverter for a car. Like, we used to have one when we drive around and need to use our laptops and stuff a lot. We had like a, I'm not an electrician, like a 1200 watt inverter or something. It was a big deal. It was wired to the battery.
Right. Yeah.
And you could, you know, watch TV on it if you needed to. He makes a battery pack. They make a battery pack that is, it will charge an iPhone 35 times. Now,
that's crazy.
It is crazy. But it's so freaking cool, because when you think about something like that in your boat, like as a backup power source, or
right, yeah,
if you had a hurricane, being able to run,
yeah, that
like
was
for
my
Florida
mind.
A hurricane, that would be amazing.
Oh, that'd be great.
So I want to say it was an 80,000 milliamp hour, 75,000 milliamp hour. I'm a little bit off on that, but it was a big ass battery. But it was about the size of a book, of like a hardback book.
Yeah, so, and you're right. They kind of do look like those inverters that you would like plug into your car.
And they had them in,
like, it would change.
Obviously, if you need to get lighter, they had them in lighter sizes. They also made one that was a solar powered inverter or solar powered charger. So it would,
that's cool.
It looks like a little thin. It looked almost like he had a notebook or something, and he folded it open, and then inside there on the solar panel was a little USB port, and you could plug your. They give you a cable that has like a lightning cable, a USB-C, a whatever the Android charger cable input is. You fold that thing out and you could charge any device you wanted on like a trickle charge.
Yeah.
What's a trickle charge?
A trickle charge is like a lower voltage, lower amperage charge.
Yeah.
Basically what your charger does when you plug it into the wall. I mean, that's kind of like a trickle charge, but probably less so than that.
Yes.
So it doesn't use as much energy.
Correct.
You know what it reminded me of in the video, the Insta story, because I wasn't there, but you remember like in the 50s when the ladies would sunbathe and they would have that little thing they would hold to get
exactly
the sun to
like.
Reflect on their face, and it like folds in on each side?
Yeah.
That's what it was like.
The thing you were least excited about that I sent you that I was most excited about was a bucket.
I was pretty excited about that bucket.
I love that bucket.
Really cool.
Oh, it was awesome. It was Lil Warbs that wasn't excited about the bucket. He called me up.
Lil Warbs doesn't know what he's talking
about. He doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to top water baits or buckets.
Did you just confuse me with Austin?
No, baby. Not even close.
I'm so upset.
I'm confused. So this bucket, if I'm describing it right, it's like a 2-gallon bucket, give or take. Maybe it's a liter bucket. I don't know, because it's from the UK.
Yeah.
And it had these modular trays that would sit in it.
Hold on. Here you go. The standard is 17 liters.
Okay.
The XL is 30 liters.
Okay. So you could get it with like a stool, like a dove bucket, like we used to dove hunt with.
That was the thing that really caught my attention. It was like, that's the perfect dove hunt stool that ever have been made.
Listen to, if you can hear the sound of my voice right now, you need to listen to me, because I'm getting one of these freaking buckets and it's going to be my blind bag for duck season. Because what is the problem with every blind bag that we buy?
They get wet.
Like, why? For the love of all that is holy.
They claim to be, in huge quotations, waterproof.
Who made the bucket thing?
Ridge Monkey.
This they is all make Ridge Monkey. Everything.
So this bucket is modular, and you'd have to look at it on their website, but it has these little trays that fit down in the bottom. But I was thinking you could put two boxes of shells in there. You could get some of those little modular trays and snap those in there for your duck calls, your lens wipes, your sunglasses, whatever the stuff is you carry.
Your snacks.
Obviously, you'd need the larger bucket if you went with Emily and need your snacks.
That's right.
nothing's going to get squished because it's a hard-sided bucket. It's a square shape, so it's going to slide up against the edge of the boat better than a round bucket will.
Right, and it's going to fit your big butt better,
yep,
too.
It's going to it'll fit into a hatch or anything else. Like, it, being square makes it a more modular shape for... I thought this was the most brilliant thing ever. And obviously, it's just a plastic bucket. I think he told me, I'm going to get this wrong, I think it was like 20 or 25 bucks for it.
£19.99.
Yeah, and then you can add
about
on
24 bucks.
You can add on, obviously, the seat and options like that. But I was like, holy crap, this is like, I'm buying one of these to work as a blind bag for me for duck season. And you guys are all going to be jealous because we're going to put Tangle Free and Dark Water Call stickers on it. And everybody at the end of the year is going to be like, where'd you get that bucket? I'm going to be like, haha, I told you about
it. Dude's from England.
What's really cool, though, is like the modular piece, the storage that comes out of the bucket snaps onto the sides of the bucket. So if you're taking it out, it like sits on the sides.
Yeah, so you can snap the little things on the side and put the seat on top. So
and
you have easy access
to your gear. They're freezer safe. So if you have frozen bait in them, you can just take them out of the bucket and stick them in the freezer.
Why would I take bait duck hunting?
Because you also have a fishing boat, you derp.
So, no, but did you see, and I don't know where you can see this on the website, some of those little trays would actually sit all the way down in the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and some of them would hang suspended near the top. There's two sizes of trays.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually put six trays in there if you really wanted to split up your stuff into the big bucket. I thought that was amazing. But what they're known for... And so I went by the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers booth, and I introduced these guys to the BHA guys, to Sam. I met Sam Lundgren, who's the editor of the BHA, the Backcountry Journal, that we had in A Game is the Foot last week.
That's awesome.
Like, how is that not meta? Like, that's an episode of Community right there, right?
Providence. We'll call that Providence.
And more than anything, Sam is a fan of Parks and Recreation.
Even better.
I mean, what's probably most important is he works for BHA and he puts out a good magazine and...
Well, yeah, but...
Works on their podcast.
It's important that he likes Parks and Rec as well.
But I also met Lan Tawney, who's the...
President and CEO
of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And there was one of their board members, Rob Parkins, was there. And first off, those guys are all exactly what you'd imagine. And I want to talk more about that in the next episode. But I brought the guy from Ridge Monkey down to talk to the guy from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and kind of make that connection. And Rob Parkins said, yeah, I've got some Ridge Monkey cookware. Huh. He'd heard of it.
Right.
They make this modular aluminum cookware that folds open, super lightweight, but the handles detach. The utensils snap inside of it. It's all magnetic seal. So for our guys in Florida that like to cook breakfast in the blind, this is like the perfect thing. And they make one that actually you could cook different things in different... It's like a divided griddle.
Like a cafeteria tray.
Yes.
For a cook.
With a non-stick coating.
Yeah.
And they make single burner stoves.
I saw those, yeah.
But here's the thing they make that no one else in the industry makes. And this is for me, I was like, we all take these big Coleman stoves into the duck woods and cook on those, and they're big and bulky. Right. They make the little single burner, like the backpacker stoves, and they fold out and they have adjusters and this, that, and the other. They make one that you can extend. So you can put your butane or your propane or whatever to your first burner. Then you can have another burner and extend it back to that first burner and have a two burner off a single tank. It's all portable.
Wow. So that Ridge Monkey stuff sounds like it's awesome.
It's
like,
legit.
I'm totally in on their products. I was flipping through their website. I was like, whoa, that's cool. Wait a minute. Whoa, that's cool. Whoa, that's cool. So, yeah, I'm into that. But you also mentioned that Tacticam was there.
Tacticam was there, and I spent a long time at their booth. And I'm not familiar with Tacticam. You are, right?
I am. I have a Tacticam.
Really?
Actually, yeah. They're really cool. They're kind of single. They're like a GoPro, but they're cylinder-shaped, and you can... A lot of them come with like a stabilizer mount, so you can mount it on the front of your bow and video. But they also make different mounts for like gun mounts and stuff like that.
Which model do you have? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
It's an older one. It's like 3 or 4 years old.
Okay.
Maybe the 2.0. I think it's the 2.0.
The way I would best describe them is they look like those LED flashlights you buy at the checkout at Walmart.
Yeah.
Or like Lowe's. You know what I mean? Like, they're good flashlights.
4 or 5 inches long.
Yeah. I believe they are about half the weight of a GoPro. Would you agree with that? Like, they're super lightweight.
They are really lightweight. And I haven't even touched the newer ones, so I don't even know.
They're
probably
incredibly
even
lighter
than used to.
So I talked to a guy there, and I'm actually getting rid of my GoPros and switching to these. That's how cool That's how much I was impressed by this product. They make a hunting one that is, you could zoom with it.
Whoa.
And you can zoom up to, I want to say it's 5X or 8X. It's incredible how far you can zoom with this thing. And you That's can get awesome. Like really, and it stays in 4K.
Right. And it's not like the fisheye.
No.
Type thing like the GoPro is.
No.
It's like real, like eyesight looking.
Now,
like,
the thing that they released this week, all of their cameras are water resistant. The thing they released or were talking about a lot this week was they've come out with a fishing one that is submersible.
Oh, that's cool.
I forget how deep or anything else. Still the same form factor. But the reason I really like these things is they were so simplistic in usage. And here, if you use a GoPro and you're listening to this, this is why this is, to me, a superior product. You can turn them on and off with the remote.
Instead of just like record and stop recording.
So I have GoPro remotes. That GoPro remote only connects via the Wi-Fi, and the GoPro has to be on in a standby mode with the Wi-Fi being broadcast the entire time.
Right.
Which drains the battery way faster. This, you could leave, you could set them up, because I like, when I'm duck hunting, I like to set GoPros in trees around to get different angles on the hunt. These, you could set them out there and turn them on 3 minutes before shoot time versus the GoPro. Right. I either got to get out of the boat right at shoot time and go turn them on, which then is bad because that's when, you know, your best shot's going to come.
Right.
Or I have to have them already on with the remote control. And then, but they, I mean, they've thought through everything. Michael Waddell uses these, the bone collector.
Yeah.
They've thought through, they've got a low light mode that will video right at daylight, and you'll still get a really great
picture. That's important for duck hunting.
It's huge for duck hunting.
Mm-hmm.
GoPros are terrible in low light. It's basically, you might as well be dark.
They also have the red dot. Have you seen the shot cam before?
Yes.
So I asked the guy about that. He's like, yeah, you can turn the red dot on and off in our hunting camera.
Oh, that's legit. I love that. I love that so much.
I was so excited about this product. I was like, I don't understand why everyone in Florida is not using these. Like, GoPro's a good camera and a good product if you want to go skateboarding.
Right.
This camera is made. They have a video, and I guarantee you I'll be able to find it and link to it. They have a video where they have a GoPro and a Tacticam mounted on the same gun, and it's all kind of stuff spliced in, like they're turkey hunting or they're duck hunting or they're deer hunting.
Right.
And they can zoom with the Tacticam and they can't with the GoPro, or they shoot and the recoil on the GoPro just shakes it all to pieces, and it doesn't even look like the Tacticam. Like, it looks like it just barely moves back a hair.
Yeah, yeah. They have designed this camera for hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just like outdoor sports like GoPro is, and they've done great with that, and it's great for that. But Tacticam, if you want to film your hunts and your, you know, fishing adventures, this is the camera you need to have.
Yeah, it really, I couldn't believe I'd never heard of them. I'd heard of Shot Cam, I'd heard of GoPro. When I walked up to this booth, I honestly thought they were selling flashlights.
they look like a flashlight. They really do.
But this was a very cool product. When you buy it, they give you a mount that adapts to GoPro mounts. So if you had a GoPro, awesome. Sell your GoPro, you don't have to sell your mounts. You can use all your existing mounts.
Yeah, because I have a GoPro with a bunch of mounts.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
You could replace it with a Tacticam with the mounts, and it's just... super good guys too. Like, you could tell they're all hunters and fishermen. They're all outdoorsmen in that group.
Right. Yeah.
And
they're based out of Minnesota.
They are. The guy I talked to was from Minnesota, but they had some guys there from Texas and stuff. And you could just tell, like, they all loved hunting and fishing, and they wanted a camera that served their needs for hunting and fishing.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
As a guy that has so many blurry pictures of wood ducks being shot at because I mounted the GoPro mounted on my hat, the recoil from a shotgun shooting number two will blur out a picture.
Oh, sure.
Especially depending on the lighting and everything. So I can't wait. This season I'm going to have a couple of those Tacticams on the boat, and we're going to put them through the paces.
I'm excited to see them in action.
I really am too.
So we've talked about a ton of products this episode, exciting innovations. So we're not going to do keep and release like we typically do on our weekly episodes, but I have to know. I was hoping you would talk to PowerPole and find out about that crazy product that they teased about last year, the Vision, the PowerPole Vision.
We incorrectly called it the Fusion, and I admitted that.
Yeah, the Fusion.
Yeah. Whoops.
Okay, so PowerPole. Vision.
First off, when you led into that story, I thought you were going to ask about the hot dogs that I ate. because the hot dogs at that convention center were amazing.
Every single person who listens to this podcast knows that you had a hot dog. Like, there's no doubt in their mind. Like
I didn't even need to say that.
You don't even have to say the words hot dog after you say Travis Thompson.
Yeah, I had a hot dog. I had two hot dogs, actually.
Travis Thompson left the house. Picture. A hot dog was consumed.
No, they were outstanding. They were Nathan's hot dogs. Like, they were your hot dogs, Nate.
They're the best, man. I'm telling you.
Those are the best. I'm either a Nathan's or a Hebrew National guy. You want to talk about Power Pole.
Can we focus? Power Pole
Hold
vision.
Hold on. Before I get to the vision, do you know what they did? They had a George Foreman grill.
Oh, my God.
And they toasted your bun.
Oh, that's a pro move.
Right, that's there. A pro move because all hot dogs are like boiled or cooked or whatever, but they toasted the buns and it was just special.
Did they bring Racetrack in to cater?
Can we go to Racetrack after this recording's over? Emily's been wanting to go on a date because I've been at ICAST all week and I feel
it's
like...
it's a great date spot.
I will tell you something. You would not be the first man in my life that took me to Racetrack for a date.
I'm not sure how that's turned out for the others.
Do you really want to be on that list?
So, the Power Pole Vision.
Yes, tell me.
I stopped by the Power Pole booth and said, look, I got to ask this question. And we love Power Pole products. I said, so if it's a terrible answer, I won't put it on there. And the guy I spoke to said, no, the reason the Vision got kind of held up from release was portability. They wanted to incorporate, and you can speak to this a little bit. They wanted to incorporate portability into the product. And I think I'm explaining this right. So that you could take your tablet into your hotel room or into your house and monitor what was going on in the boat so that you would know that, hey, we're planning to leave at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Oh, wait, the battery's full at one. We can go ahead and go.
Yeah. So stepping back just a little bit for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, the Power Pole Vision is this system that hooks into your boat. And it's almost like, you know how you have like the depth finders or whatever that sit on the dashboard. This is a nicer version of that. It's got depth finders, but it's also got systems monitoring for all of your boats. So batteries, what else does it monitor? I forget too.
Lights, trolling motor. You could basically control your boat from this.
Yeah, it's a smart brain.
Yeah.
And it's got an app that went with it on Android. And I think they were working on the iPhone one. So anyway, it was just a super exciting announcement in ICAST 2017. We wanted to follow up on it this year, but I kind of feel terrible for them because I work in software development myself, so I understand what it's like to tell your customers, like, hey, we're making this awesome thing for you. And then you're like, oh.
But wait a minute.
There's a requirement.
We have to do this one thing
we just found out about. So it's going to be a minute. And I can tell you, like, they're dying to get it out because it's costing them money every day that they don't get it out.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So I feel bad for them, but I'm so excited for it.
Well, and adding the portability feature in, some of you may be looking at it and saying, oh, I don't really care about that. But once you've released a product, you can't bring it back add that in.
Yeah, you don't want to put it out there with bugs. Like, that's not cool.
So it makes complete sense to me that I mean, that was a really good, that was probably the best answer he could give me for why we've held it up.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So
I appreciate them taking the time to talk to us about it and give us a straight answer and not BS us. And next week, we're going to talk about the brands you already kind of know and love, as well as some other new brands, Beyond Coastal, a sunscreen company. I'm going to talk more about BHA. I'm going to talk about Maverick. Going to talk about Falcon Rods. Going to talk about some wader companies. This is going to be a fun episode.
Nice.
Yeah, we got a lot of other stuff that we're going to unpack. So
stay woke.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. If you want to join us for ICAST 2019, we'll be giving out foot rubs every day. You wish. If this is your first episode or you're an OG listener who's made it through all 44 of our shows, we'd love it if you'd take a moment to rate us on Apple Podcasts. It's super simple. Just scroll to the bottom of this episode and you can click the 5 stars. We'll think of it as Christmas in July. If you want to know more about GoLock, Cauldron, the Tacticam, or any of the products we discuss on today's show, you can check us out at castandblastfl.com. Just look for the show notes for the episode and you'll find all the links and pictures for what we've mentioned. Later!